Good evening, everyone. This is Coach Matt, and you are listening to Better Health and Body Radio, your source for the latest and greatest information and understanding in the world of health, nutrition, and performance, where we give you a seat at the table next to the best and the brightest minds to arm you with the information you need to optimize yourself. Join us for another exciting, thought-provoking episode of BHB Radio, starting now. What's up, guys? This is Coach Matt here with another episode of BHB Radio. Today's guest is Dr. Paul Winterton. Dr. Winterton is actually an orthopedic surgeon who now integrates health and nutrition into his practice. We're going to get into a crazy story of how that came to be, advice that he actually gives to his real patients, practical takeaways from research he's involved with, and a whole lot more, including some lifestyle tips on how to get started, how to enjoy your food and have treats just in time for Halloween, and still stay on point as well. So with that being said, I am really excited to introduce you guys to Dr. Winterton and his work. I think you guys are really going to enjoy it and really pull a lot from this episode that you can introduce into your own life. Dr. Winterton, thank you so much for coming on.
My privilege. This is just a great chance to do a little mind share on one of my favorite topics, and that's keto adaptation. I can't thank you enough for the opportunity.
Oh yeah, of course. I've been really looking forward to this sort of meshing of the minds here and really introducing you to everybody listening at home. So speaking of that, on that note, do you want to introduce yourself to the people at home? You know, who you are, what you do, and how you got into doing what you're doing for health.
Sure. I'm currently a full-time orthopedic surgeon here in the Wasatch Front of the great Utah mountain ranges. I've just been here most of my life, but did spend a little stint in the Northeast. I graduated as actually a piano performance major from college, but did my pre-med. I did my medical training at Harvard Medical School, where I learned absolutely nothing about nutrition. Let alone, I mean, medical school, you go to medical school to learn pathophysiology and how to treat it with FDA approved meds and how to do surgery on cases that are refractory to conservative pharmacologic management. Wow. So didn't know anything about nutrition, but nonetheless, after graduating from Harvard Medical School, did my orthopedic training at Mayo Clinic in Rochester, Minnesota. Completed that, then did two fellowships in sports medicine, shoulder and knee reconstruction, and foot and ankle reconstruction. And now I've been practicing for 22 years, and I've got a lot of orthopedic patients with a lot of bad extremity and spine problems, and a big old pool of high body mass index folks that have really benefited from the ideas and philosophy and strategies of keto adaptation. That is, moving away from primary carbohydrate consumption as the main source of nutrition and moving more toward a diet high in healthy saturated fats. So that's my background. And really, when I had the opportunity to come and visit with you, Matt, I think I know I'm preaching to the choir with you, but if there is anyone out there that really is still wondering whether this country needs to move in this direction with the demographics, we've been talking about low fat diets for 40 to 50 years, and you can see how much that rhetoric has furthered the health of our community. We're now moving toward endemic, pandemic levels of metabolic syndrome, that is high body mass index, morbid obesity, hypertension, type 2 diabetes, and we aren't moving away from that fast enough. So that's why I'm here, and I wanted to just tell you a little bit about my story and how I was able to move into a much healthier lifestyle. So
yeah,
any particular thoughts there, Matt?
Yeah, I appreciate you, you know, sharing your background and your thoughts on the current climate. It's always, I've heard it before, but it's still just as shocking to me every time I hear about the lack of nutrition education in med school. just because it seems like so much of the reactionary allopathic things could be correct, course corrected, or maybe not even need to happen. Some of those drugs, some of those treatments, if you had the right preventative health in place, and you could kind of avoid a lot of those band-aids over bullet wounds anyways. And I think, you know, we've mentioned that on here before, it's kind of wild how, you know, in the middle of a pandemic where the biggest comorbidity is obesity, we haven't really heard anything about health and nutrition in the news, right?
Yeah, isn't that remarkable? Those who are most vulnerable, those comorbidities, the 85% of those comorbidities in the United States are preventable lifestyle choice related problems. I mean, if there's any solution to our current COVID-19 pandemic, it's moving away from diets high in carbohydrates. And as far as any future problems, as far as coronary artery disease and stroke, this is where we need to go. I mean, 7 years ago, I was a carboholic. I was sure riding my bicycle. I'm a typical orthopedic meathead. I rode my bicycle 30 miles a day. I thought I was quite a hot shot, but every night I felt justified in pounding 10 Chips Ahoy, 10 Nutter Butters, and 10 Oreos, and I would pay for it the next day. I was 5'8", 195 pounds, and had a lot of daily upper GI symptoms, horrible malaise and fatigue. I would do my bicycle commute, and halfway back, I would hit such a bonk, I'd have to go to the 7-Eleven and order a big bag of Ruffles potato chips to make it the rest of the way. And so I had my first introduction to the concept of exogenous ketones about 7 years ago. And at that particular time, there weren't really any good preparations of ketones that you could take by mouth. Of course, I had heard about keto adaptation. Many of the patients here who had seizure disorders here at the Primary Children's Hospital in Salt Lake City were all on ketogenic diets, but it certainly hadn't gone viral like it has now in the last 7 years. I was introduced to this opportunity and was one of the first ones to try the palatable exogenous ketones. I mean, they've traditionally had a horrible flavor, but I was able to transition into mostly a diet higher in fats and absolutely no carbohydrates without any keto bonk or keto flu, basically transitioning with these exogenous ketones, these supplements. And it's been a dramatic lifestyle change for me. The mind-blowing energy is worth it just in and of itself, but the remarkable increased acuity of my cognitive capacities, my overall change in body habitus. I mean, when you're dealing with keto adaptation and you move toward burning beta hydroxybutyrate ketones instead of carbohydrates as your main source of energy, you're burning one third less oxygen and you're creating one third more ATP per molecule BHB burn. That's beta hydroxybutyrate. It's interesting when you ask the public, carbohydrates are to glucose as what is to fats. And people don't understand that fats have their own significant source of energy. And it's the little micro pack called beta hydroxybutyrate. One interesting anecdote, I ride bicycle a lot. I enjoy the comforts of a good fat tire bicycle. And was riding along the ridge here, the Wasatch Front, when I was starting my first experience with keto adaptation, particularly taking these ketone supplements. And I usually was being passed by these young hotshots on their street cycles. And I was 50 years old when all of this started. And there I was feeling my mind-blowing energy. And I see these people come up behind me. And I just decide to turn it on my fat tire bike. And I start going about 20, 25, 30 miles an hour on a straightaway. And I'm watching my heart rate go up on my biometric bicycle computer from 150, 155, 160. I sustained a 180 beats per minute heart rate for 20 minutes and they couldn't catch up with me. And I finished the ride and I couldn't believe it. I called one of the developers of the supplement and said, "You won't believe this, but I just sustained 185 beats per minute for 20 minutes. And it was it. Now, interestingly, I just got back from Cozumel last week and did the Devil's Throat dive, 140 foot dive off the coast. And of course, you're trying to preserve oxygen there when you're down there diving, and of course no upper GI symptoms doing that. I continue to do my bicycle commute 30 miles a day, and well, keto adaptive lifestyle has been a remarkable blessing in my life, and just can't talk about it enough. That's why it's such a privilege to be here on your show today.
Yeah, thanks again, Paul. That's thanks for coming on, number one. Number two, yeah, you just said a whole lot there. So I definitely want to circle back on the exogenous ketones in a second. That story is awesome, especially as sort of like a little aha moment. And I think a lot of us have to have these little aha moments where we believe things for ourselves, you know, and there's sort of a level of opening up and acceptance that comes with that. And then it's sort of like we want to then pass that gift along to other people. And you could extrapolate this to a lot of different aspects of health and life, really. So it was cool hearing about your own little road into it. Now, one thing I did want to touch on, just to kind of close the loop on some of Western society's problems. When we talked privately before this, is it right that, that about 80% of the maladies related to Western culture's health are a direct result of our own lifestyle and diet choices?
85%. You think what happened, wow. 85% of all maladies, all pathophysiology, we talk about cancer, we talk about, look, you know, bless their hearts, the people who suffer every day from those types of things, that's not, those things usually don't happen because of lifestyle choices. We're talking metabolic syndrome, hypertension, stroke, we're talking type 2 diabetes, of course, the musculoskeletal effects of morbid obesity. Yes, 85% of the problems that we're suffering from in the United States are from choices we make as we walk up and down what I call the center aisle grocery store, the center aisle grocery store syndrome, where every package or can that you look at is filled with high fructose corn syrup, processed refined carbohydrates. And it all started in the 70s when we found that we could really make food a lot cheaper with significant additives, all based on high fructose corn syrup. And here we are today, still spending time walking up and down aisles, buying refined foods. The real solution is focusing on healthy food and nutrition choices, whole foods, the kind of foods that the good Lord meant us to put in our pie hole, rather than Twinkies and cupcakes and cookies. And I, you know, you and I did speak before. I don't want to make any of my friends, family, audience think you have to abstain from the things that bring joy to our life. I mean, if you want to drink that half a glass of wine, if you want to, you never pass a plate of cookies without taking one. You never pass a bowl of potato chips without popping a few in your mouth. You can enjoy those things, but the cravings go away, and you can enjoy life's simple pleasures by maintaining a keto adaptive lifestyle. That is lifestyle with 70-75% intake of fat, 15-20% proteins, and the lower ends of the carbohydrates. And the carbohydrates that you should be consuming are the complex carbohydrates that don't cause a massive increase in your insulin. So there you go. That's right, Matt. 85% of all the pathophysiology that is so difficult to tackle in our community these days is from lifestyle choices, particularly nutritional and exercise.
Wow. Yeah, I believe they call those Neolithic diseases as well, because they weren't like people want to make the argument that, well, you know, people are living longer now. And it's like, well, yeah, but they're not. The quality of life, like there's a difference between surviving and thriving, number one. And number two, a lot of the diseases that were killing us back then they were more like bacterial in nature and hygienic in nature, and not, how should I put this?
they weren't as lifestyle oriented, but right now it's sort of like we're going in the reverse direction with on the lifestyle side of things, you know?
That's right. I think we need to, I think you just brought a great point. We, our bodies were designed through the ages, through the millennia, to consume mostly saturated fats. I mean, yes, we may consider ourselves an agrarian species, but no, we weren't pounding grains until much later during our evolution. I mean, you look at Lewis and Clark when they were traveling from the center of the country to the Pacific Ocean. They were living on animal flubber and foods high in saturated fats with mind-blowing energy and cognitive capacity, and it sustained them, and they were healthy. So yeah, these are all diseases of modern culture, particularly within the last 30, 40 years, late 20th century, that we, if we don't turn this Titanic, we're in a real world of hurt sooner than later. And that's why it's so exciting to talk about not only keto adaptive lifestyle, but using exogenous ketone supplements to help that transition. I have so many patients. I had a conversation the other day, a 330 pound, 42 year old came into my office and was having horrible joint pain and stage osteoarthritis. And I said, you know, all these things are reversible. We can really treat your osteoarthritis with a serious approach at weight loss and weight loss regimen that would be very doable for you. And the patient looked at me and said, you know, I've lived a life, a nice life, 42 years. I'm not really happy with the way I feel. I said, well, if you keep up this lifestyle, you're going to die in a few years. And they said, well, that's okay. I'm ready to die. I've lived 42 years. Mm. Just devastating to hear people have made that choice to move in that direction of virtually destroying their lives with those choices. And they're so miserable, the thought of doing the work that it takes to reverse that pathophysiology is overwhelming to them. And the hope that we give them with nutritional choices and exercise choices, of course, people that heavy, you have to start in swimming pools and outside of gravity to get people moving again. So.
Yeah, it's really too bad. I think, like you said, when it comes to any of this stuff, people have to really want it for themselves first and foremost in the first place before, you know, you can really help them as much as you can, right? You can have that initial, lead the horse to the water level of help. They have to be able to and wanting to drink it for themselves too.
That's right. You know, you have these patients that are facing that miserable 2 or 3 weeks to transition away from that lifestyle of primarily choosing refined carbs. We're talking the spaghettis, the pastas, the breads, the cereals that we've been taught from the FDA that, you know, the old food pyramid, the dastardly food pyramid, how many lives that's destroyed. And we have a solution. Instead of pasta, you can spiralize zucchini. Instead of rice, you can morselize cauliflower. You can enjoy delicious foods with grass-fed butter and cooked in coconut oil. There are options out there where you don't have to compromise flavor. You don't have to compromise lifestyle. You just have to be cognitively aware, what I would call a self-efficacy or a self-awareness of what you're putting in your doggone pie hole. If people were just aware daily of what they're consuming, they could make this transition. And where they run into problems with the keto flu, we have a solution to that. If you can, as they make that transition, as they lose the energy they get from all of those carbs that they eat to saturated fats, it takes a while for your body to change from the carbohydrate burning engine to the fat burning engine. These exogenous ketones give you the energy to make that transition so you don't have that headache, you don't have that bonk, you don't have the muscle aches, you don't have that inflammation, that keto flu. And that's really a message that I want to emphasize on this visit we have today. This solution to our horrible demographic that's continuing to expand, no pun intended, in the United States. There is only one solution. Because that transition is so difficult to move from that center aisle grocery store, high fructose corn syrup, high refined carbohydrate lifestyle, to a more healthy whole foods, high healthy saturated fats lifestyle, is sometimes overwhelming. And the only solution that I see will be bridging that gap, that transition with exogenous ketones. I know this might sound like an infomercial, it's just reality. Yep. And I've been involved with the studies for the last 7 years and would love to share some of those with you at some time. So,
yeah, absolutely. I do want to get into those in just a second here, actually. Hey, Paul, real quick, actually, something happened when we added Gary on there, and it looks like Zoom is going to kick us off here in a few minutes. So what I thought I would do is break there just because it's such a good way to
Perfect.
Finish. And then what I'll do is I'll create a new meeting and we'll hop back on and finish this baby with a couple of the studies. Is that all right?
Yeah, that's great. I've been getting nervous too. It says remaining meeting time, 3 minutes, 40 seconds. So
yeah, I just tried fixing it and something happened, I think, where we went from two to three way because I booked it out for an hour and 45 just in case. So let me create a new one and then I'll invite you and we'll finish this baby up.
Perfect bridge, Matt. Thanks. Talk to you soon.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye.
Yeah. So speaking of the exogenous ketones, I definitely want to hear, number one, how you as a practitioner recommend everybody at home use them, just to give everybody at home some practical takeaways. And then from there, maybe we can also get into some of what you've observed in some of the research yourself.
Yeah. So I've been involved. I was a guinea pig. I had exogenous ketones delivered to my doorstep and started experimenting with different mixtures of beta hydroxybutyrate and a proprietary mix of medium chain triglycerides. I had my blood tests. I started patients on it. I was doing ketone blood testing. And the company I started with was Ketogenics. I think they transitioned to a company that I now use called Rio Ketones. And I have been so satisfied with all of their products. I have, of course, my favorites. They have all sorts of exogenous preparations. And basically, they come in powders. And I mix my powders with usually some type of high-fat supplement drink that, you know, the Atkins shakes, and I put a good half a cup to a full cup of cream in those and mix it up with other goodies inside, but usually have that shake available every morning, 7 days a week. And I don't drink the whole thing at once because sometimes the medium chain triglycerides can give you a little loosey-goosey bowels. And so I'm pretty careful with using that energy pack throughout my mornings and afternoons during long, busy day in orthopedic clinics and long days in the operating room. And so that's how I've incorporated them into my healthy breakfast. My breakfast usually involve a high-fat yogurt with lots of low glycemic index berries. And I eat a lot of eggs in the morning, a lot of healthy grass-fed cheese and buttery omelets, and we'll just transition throughout the day. I enjoy the feeling of intermittent fasting. I'll finish my evenings about 6-7 and won't eat until the next morning until about 9 or 10. As I've become involved with this, I had the privilege of being involved with a study where we had 104 subjects, 104 in the denominator. They were overweight, but not quote unquote obese. These were 18 to 45 year olds that were recreationally active, very similar to me when I started getting involved. They were randomized to placebo or these exogenous ketones. And they were given an 8-week course of daily supplements. And they would take them pretty much the same way. Mix them, except we had them take the exogenous ketones in just plain water. All pretty much had on average, when we did the statistical analysis, about 300 calorie reduction in their lifestyle. So there was a decrease in calorie reduction, but there was no change in physical activity. But what we found with p-values, that is statistically significant findings, was overall weight loss compared to the placebo. And this was a randomized double-blind study. I mean, the highest quality of study. Their overall weight loss, specifically body fat loss, the lean muscle to fat ratio was significantly, dramatically increased. Hip circumference, statistically significant drops in overall hip circumference, which we're finding now, hip and belly fat have the greatest correlation to not only life-threatening diseases in type 2 diabetes, but also, frankly, as they've recently discovered, a vulnerability to COVID-19. Mm-hmm. Overall cholesterol decrease, particularly LDL, and most impressively, insulin levels plummeted precipitously. In other words, the risks that we all face when we get that belly fat and we're, you know, in the 10-15% overall body mass index puts us at great risk for type 2 diabetes. And so there we have a study that demonstrated the remarkable effects of just adding this supplement to their daily lifestyle. And they were all able to transition without the whole keto bonk, keto flu symptoms. It's a wonderful study. You can find it on realketones.com. In fact, you can give them the link if you want to. It's realketones.com/learn/science/clinical trials. So
yeah, you can put that in the show notes, no problem.
Yeah. So that was a great privilege to see that. And of course, I've had patients on this protocol. I've had friends, family that are basically thoroughly drinking the Kool-Aid. And I hate to put it that way because keto lifestyle is no longer kind of a hand waving, gee, we don't really know how it works. We know for decades, we've been pushing people towards this low fat. I mean, this low fat lifestyle. Well, they'll go up and down the grocery store aisles and there'll be a package of Twizzlers licorice that says, this is a low fat snack. Yeah. While you cause your insulin to skyrocket and develop peripheral resistance and you develop type 2 diabetes. And before you know it, you're laying down all those carbs right around your midriff and really suffering from the effects. And something I guess we haven't talked about, Matt, is the remarkable effects of diets high in carbohydrates and inflammation. I mean, we have the greatest medical institutions in the world at Harvard Medical School, Johns Hopkins, Stanford, Cleveland Clinic, all in tandem coming out now strongly advocating diets low in refined carbohydrates, blaming refined carbohydrates as the main source of intimal arterial lining damage that then collects the cholesterol and saturated fats. It's not the diets high in saturated fats and cholesterol that kill you. It's diets high in refined carbohydrates that cause the damage to the vessels that feed the heart and feed the brain. And then those scarred in intimal linings of those arteries, then that draws the saturated fats and cholesterol. You'll hear the greatest cardiovascular surgeons say we were wrong for 40 to 50 years. And unfortunately, because we were so hell-bent on just treating metabolic syndrome and coronary artery disease with medicines and hypertension with medicines, we didn't stop and think, what is causing this? It's quite a misstep in the American medical history, as great as we think we are, but we're finding our way back.
So. Yeah. You know, and I think that is a good point is like, you know, you're a lot of this stuff starting to go more and more mainstream. And even if you and I could kind of sit there and poke holes in the way the mainstream adopts stuff in kind of a pop culture sort of way or a black and white way, the fact that these topics are being introduced is ultimately a positive, just in terms of society shifting towards more preventative health, you know, if you wanted to go super, super big picture.
Prevention, preventative, what a novel concept.
Yeah.
And frankly, I'm embarrassed. Look, I'm a surgeon. I capitalize on the misfortune of poor lifestyle choices. My bank account, my mortgage for my home is paid for by operating on people who are suffering from the lifestyle choices that they've made. But at the same time, when I lay my head down on a pillow and I know I've got a patient out there that is now 100 pounds less than they were 6 months ago, and they don't need that knee replacement, I think I've done some real good in this world. So
it's a
lovely position to be in, to be able to teach patients about keto adaptation, exogenous ketone supplementation, and lifestyle choices and changes. I mean, my patient profiles are just that. Yes, they're professional athletes, recreational athletes that come into my office, and they've had injuries. And yes, I can help them with their ligament reconstructions and with their trauma that they've sustained. But the vast majority are in my office because they're just desperate to find solutions to the pain and inflammation that's in their body. And the number one solution in my orthopedic quote unquote surgical office is not surgery. It's education. So.
Yeah. Well, honestly, yeah, I think the whole medical establishment society, we could do really, really well to have more people like you out there whom are like you said, your livelihood in some ways is dependent upon one thing. And yet here you are educating people to take that preventative approach to feel better and ultimately not have to play this game of shoots and ladders, which really just becomes a game of shoots if you keep treating your body, or I should say mistreating your body.
Yeah, that's right.
You know, I did want to touch on a couple things that we talked about privately that I just think could be really useful for people at home. One of them is you stressed the importance of making sure that if you decide to try a diet in the keto sphere, whether it's a traditional one or maybe just lowering your carbs at least some days during the week, intermittent fasting, something like that. You mentioned it's really important to make sure that you don't neglect the whole energy balance and their calories are still there to replenish some of that junk intake you had before. Otherwise, the cravings are going to come back if you're not eating enough in general.
Absolutely. It is so critical to not starve yourself. This is not a diet. Dr. Winterton, you're advocating the keto diet. No. This is a lifestyle. When we're in utero, when we're in our mother's wombs, we are keto adapted. When we're born and suckling on our mother's breast, we are feeding ourselves keto based foods. I mean, mother's milk is high in saturated fats and high in beta hydroxybutyrate. The main source of energy that we have is in our youth and in our adolescence should be based mostly on saturated fats, healthy saturated fats. And there should never be a time where you're feeling like you're abstaining or calorie counting and feeling hungry and lethargic because you're on a quote unquote diet. You simply have to make that transition in a cognitively self-aware way. It's all self-efficacy. Understanding that you're now going to avoid those foods that have clinically been proven to cause the problems in your body and transition without making any compromise in flavor, compromise in abstinence. You can still have that cookie. You can still have that piece of candy. You can still enjoy an occasional slice of delicious whole grain bread as long as you match it with a lot of grass-fed dripping butter, keto adaptive butter, because you need to replace the calories that you usually would have used with carbohydrates, with saturated fats. And I emphasize healthy saturated fats. We're talking avocados, we're talking grass-fed butter, cooking all of your complex carbohydrates in coconut oil. You need that energy. I have 2 tablespoons of coconut oil in my morning breakfast drink that I heat up. By the way, you don't want to see me on caffeine. I just don't do coffee. But some people put their coconut oil in their coffee.
Yeah.
I avoid caffeine because, frankly, my keto adaptive lifestyle gives me mind-boggling energy, and I never have that afternoon coffee bonk where I need to have a quote-unquote coffee break to function in my second half of my difficult clinic lifestyle. So, yeah. You can't overemphasize that enough, Matt. This is not a low-calorie lifestyle choice. This you need to see it as adapting to an entirely different sense of well-being that can only be accomplished in this way. So,
well said. Very well said.
I don't have any strong opinions, do I? But
no. This is tell us how you really feel, please. I think it's better if that everybody at home knows. You know, and I think having your emotion behind it just shows your passion. Now, in addition to that, too. Speaking of carbohydrates, right? It's not even just like we're taking a carbs or bad position. It's more so like refined carbohydrates, frankenfoods of various kinds, right? Including some things like polyunsaturated fatty acids, things like that. One thing I do appreciate about your position is that you're like, hey, you know, when you are going to have carbohydrates, just make sure they're good quality and you're okay with fruit. And I think that we see a lot of people in the mainstream keto community completely demonizing carbs and or not mentioning food quality and only mentioning the keto ratio. So I just wanted to put that out there just to clarify things for people at home. And then also just to let you know, it's something that I've noticed that differentiates what you're saying from some of the mainstream people.
It's a great point. I mean, whether you worship at the altar of Mother Nature or intelligent design, the reality is we have foods, whole foods, natural foods that our bodies were designed to consume. And those include fruits and those include vegetables. And some of those fruits and vegetables are high glycemic index, have a lot of sugar. A ripe banana will really cause your insulin to spike. That doesn't mean you can't eat bananas. That doesn't mean you can't eat a good orange. You don't, but you know, make it an apple a day, not five apples. And for heaven's sakes, if you're going to drink fruit juice, go easy on it. I mean, just a half a glass. I'd love fresh squoze and orange juice, but I used to just pound 32 ounces.
Yeah.
And I felt horrible an hour later with the bonk. You know, give me that fresh squeezed orange juice. I'll have three or four guzzles, and it's like heaven on earth. You know, give me that blueberry, raspberry, strawberry, blackberry with heavy whipping cream, and you've got the dessert of a millionaire and zero glycemic index. Those fruits are good choice fruits, but you should never forego any foods. You just have to be mindful about the volumes of the foods and how it affects your insulin and your overall body mass index and or your overall energy source. I speaking of energy, I think we do need to mention from a scientific standpoint, mitochondria, the little engines in our cells, and they do make ATP or our energy packets with glucose. We know that our mitochondria would much prefer to be burning beta hydroxybutyrate rather than carbs. And by the way, speaking of macronutrients, there is no essential carbohydrate. You can function, ask the Inuit population in Alaska by the North Pole. You can function with zero carbs and have absolutely no nutritional deficits. I'm not suggesting that because the point you made, Matt, they're wonderful complex carbohydrates that you can pound till the day is over and it is just so healthy for you. But there are no essential carbohydrates. There are essential fats. You cannot live without fat or the vitamins D, E, A, and K you won't get. They're only absorbed with fat. There are essential proteins and amino acids. You cannot live an entire life unless you have fatty acids and proteins. You can live very healthy with zero carbs. I'm not suggesting it, but it goes to show you how our bodies in part of this grand intelligent designer, how we evolved, have made our bodies be able to function at high levels, going out and killing that saber-toothed tiger with absolutely no carbs on board, just fats and proteins. There you go. There's another strong opinion from the good doctor.
There you go. Yeah. I like it. I think you've kind of helped bridge different sides for different people without even knowing it. And I think you can do that with a strong opinion, right? And like you said, there's different tiers to it. There's survival level, there's thriving levels. And I think that's how you can reconcile a lot of the things that we're talking about today that you just said with some other people out there whom are still making sure they get in their requisite dose of carbohydrates, like those in the generative energy and the Dr. Ray Peet community. It's all right, maybe let's not go to Jamba Juice and have a giant sugar bomb smoothie, but let's make sure that, you know, we can still have our fruit if we want, or even better, have our cake and eat it too, right?
Yeah, exactly. Absolutely. There are just too many lovely good things to pass up. I will put a little plug in for methadone. You know, I am a reformed recovering carboholic. I love my carbs. I thrive. My taste buds thrive on carbs, but I have found the methadones for me. And everyone has to find the satisfaction of finding things that replace those snacks. So instead of a Ruffles potato chip bag, I'll have in my backpack, right on the little side pocket, my lovely roasted sunflower seeds that taste just as good, if not better, than Ruffles potato chips. So you've got to find your methadone, folks. Do not just abstain and make yourself miserable. One last thing you mentioned about survival mode. One thing about transitioning to keto adaptation, we are designed as a human species to go sometimes 3-4 days without eating anything. It's called starvation. And it's typically how many of our migrant ancestors lived. Our bodies were designed to sustain that with plenty of energy, plenty of mental acuity. And when you do take these exogenous ketones, you're quote unquote biohacking your body, particularly the brain and the mitochondria in the brain, to thinking that your body is keto adapting and that you are in starvation mode, and your body will naturally transition to burning your body fat, thus the significant weight loss that we see in everyone that keto adapts. That's, of course, the greatest advantage, to lose that 30, 40 pounds, particularly around the midriff, that everyone suffers and struggles with getting rid of, and also the saturated fat, the fat collections around our organs that are so well known to be the source of a lot of the disease that we have. So keto adaptation, biohacking, tricking your body into thinking you're in starvation mode, which is exactly the way we lived as a human species for years. And by the way, you can go kill that saber-toothed tiger with a lot of energy if you don't eat for 3 or 4 days. Now, we like to think that that's maybe some of the magic and metabolic logic to intermittent fasting. So there's another plug, Matt.
Yeah, no, I like him. I think, you know, I'll have to kind of re-listen, go back through it, and just kind of pick out all the little different things that you're saying, honestly. I do want to have you back on as a guest. We actually, we talked beforehand, you know, we're going to have a bit of a formal study and exogenous ketone roundtable, if you will, with yourself and Gary. So I look forward to having you on again for all of that. Just to be respectful of your time today, is there anything that you want to leave people at home with? And then also, where can they find out more about you if they'd like to learn more and kind of just keep in touch with what you're up to?
Oh, well, I think I've blown enough hot air for one podcast. I've really had a lot of fun on YouTube. Just if you Google my name, Paul Winterton, MD, I'm heavily involved with my orthopedic practice. But if you'll have some fun reading what I've been involved with Keto Bites, KETOBYTES. Those are little 2-3 minute vignettes. I think there are about 25 of them on YouTube. I don't have a big social media presence. My practice is purely orthopedic, and that's kind of how I butter my bread with, of course, grass-fed butter. But just a hearty shout out to everyone who might be a little discouraged with losing that last 40 to 60 pounds. Those who are discouraged at thinking, I can't do this. I just love my carbs too much. Well, I'm not telling you you need to abandon carbs. You can still enjoy them. Just make the transition and use exogenous ketones to do it. And you will never regret that new, sustainable, mind-boggling, energetic lifestyle that you will never turn around from. You'll be there for the rest of your life. It's lovely.
Beautiful. I love it. Yeah, we've talked a lot in some of the research online about people, even if you're not going to be on a traditional ketogenic diet and that and a standard one with the standard macros, that's completely okay. But for everyone to get to that thriving level, it is important to have a flexible metabolism and fix your metabolism so that, you know, you are able to be fat adapted. And it just unlocks so much other parts of your health and human performance. So Dr. Winterton, thank you so much for having, for coming on, for giving us so much of your time, so much free information. I really look forward to having you on again. And I know everybody at home will too. So thank you again.
My privilege, Matt. Looking forward, sir.
And everyone at home, thank you so much for inviting us into your homes, for your continued support. If there is anyone or anything that you would like to know more about, anybody you'd like me to talk to, feel free to email us at support@realketones.com. Thanks again, guys.